ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time for us to be joined by our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, good morning. What's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So would you like to discuss further your evaluation of Sam Darnold, or did you think you made that pretty clear yesterday on with Stilley?
No, you know, it's funny. Jarrett said I use stats. Well, I had to use stats because, you know, his football acumen is not of enough stature to understand when I explained one of his interceptions in the Saints win that was 10-7, in which he completed five passes. I explained one of the two interceptions, and he didn't really seem to understand. So I said, okay, well, let me just go to stats because that will help. On the interception, he didn't look off the safety. He led Tyrann Mathieu right to the post, and he proceeded to throw a beach ball that Mathieu was able to pick off, and that was one of his two interceptions. But my thing with Sam Darnold is I don't think he's a terrible quarterback, but to use the words awesome and great to describe him, it's typical Stillman. But then to turn around and look at Tua or Kyler Murray and say they suck, as he would say, it just doesn't correlate. I would say this. I think I think Darnold is capable of having a so-so year, but I would definitely not use the words awesome or great. And this portion of his career, this six-game stretch of his career that Jarrett pointed to say that he's awesome and great, was far from that if you actually watched the tape.
Well, he did bring up – so he brought up Tannehill, right? Jared brought up Tannehill when he was telling us about it. Yeah, well, actually, that does bring up something interesting. Ryan Tannehill, TD, are you surprised that we don't know where he's going to be? I look at this, I have to think that he's trying to be selective in finding a place to at least be a bridge starter. And, you know, that could work out at still some spots. But are you surprised, and what do you think happens with him?
Yeah, I would think that Tannehill is looking for the right opportunity. I think that he still believes that he's a starter. And it's one of those things where he, as you said, he's being very selective. I don't know for sure that he will continue to play, to be honest with you. So there's a lot of directions it could go, but I definitely wouldn't compare Darnold to Tannehill. I think there's a different grade. Tannehill isn't as scary as Darnold is, you know, when pressure comes.
So, TD, what were some of your main takeaways from the Callahan-Wilson-Holtz press conference earlier this week?
Well, I like what Denard Wilson said about the secondary and the front end and how they're married together. He mentioned, you know, how it's won in the trenches. But the thing that was really, really outstanding that he discussed was how if you're not a pass rusher, you have to turn into a pass defender. And he really got into, like, how you can alter the throw and actually be a pass defender as a defensive lineman, as a pass rusher. So I thought that was cool. Nick Holes and his – what he said about Treylon Burks, right, having to earn it and speaking about his talent, that was intriguing. Both Holes and Brian Callahan speaking about Will Levis, his leadership, and how they're going to allow him to just take that role, and just how he walks in the building with a different swagger, like a level of confidence that they like. So those are some things. I mean, it was a good 40 minutes of press conferences, actually 50, and I thought it was really good.
Well, since you brought up Burks, I guess we have to go back into Stilly territory. So first of all, the reaction, and certainly not just him. I mean, people raise their eyebrows when Brian Callahan was asked about just, I guess, receivers in general. I think Sam Phelan asked him something about receivers, and he went into, and then you have the slot guys, and he mentioned Mason Kinsey and all that. I guess I kind of took that as he was talking about the true, quote-unquote, true slot receivers, even though obviously you can do different things. You're going to move different guys into the slot.
Right.
But I don't know. You tell me. The overall reaction, Nick Holtz's answer to a question about Burks. The pictures of Burks. I mean, does he look out of shape to you? Do you feel like there's any messaging right now that to the effect of, you know, they've, I don't know, not given up on him, but that they're down on him?
No, I don't think there's messaging. And I think this is another situation where we're too caught up in these conspiracies and trying to read all these. Just let it play out. He's not out of shape. I mean, I'll say this. I'm wise enough to know what I don't know. So I don't know if he is or isn't in shape. I believe that he is, because what I saw him do last year was coming to camp in shape. But that remains to be proven. I'm not going to get on here and definitively say that he's in shape. I'm not going to definitively say he's out of shape. That's not how I do, right? But to look at a picture and say this man's cheeks make you think that he's out of shape, it's like Jupiter-level moronic. I don't even understand how. And then a three-second video of him walking into the building with a T-shirt. Out of shape because of that? Let's just stop. That's reckless. That's careless. And you see how a lot of fans are jumping on that now. That's why we, as people who come on this radio and speak and actually are blessed enough to have influence, we have to be careful not to be reckless. And that's being reckless speaking that way, because as you see, people will jump on it.
Teron Davenport with us here. Sorry, Petiti, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just think Treylon Burks is one of those. Let's see how he is when OTA starts.
Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, TD, to that point, we were discussing earlier the Amarius Mims part of this and how, you know, Rex Road really intrigued by him if the Titans ended up moving back in the draft. I heard you talking about him a little bit yesterday. It sounds like you're a little bit more down on the Amarius Mims part of this. What do you think of the options for the Titans if they move back significantly in the draft as it relates to tackle?
Well, I agree with what you said a few segments ago, where this franchise has already had enough trouble trying to fill this position with draft capital. So I would be more inclined to get a prospect that's a little more surefire, not as many areas for improvement. You know, when you talk about the limited playing time, the injuries, that's something I would probably shy away from. I think if they move back, you know, depending on where they move back, if you go O-line, I mean, you do have J.C. Latham there, who I think, you know, after the two main guys in Alton Fashion, who I think those, he would be the guy next you look at left. Faletano is intriguing. He's a mauler. He's someone who, you know, is very athletic. That's another option. If you want to go strictly right tackle, Fuaga is another one as well. So I think, you know, there's options moving back. But if they do like that Viking straight 11 and 23, I think at 23, you got to look at a receiver option, pass rusher. I mean, there's other things besides the line.
If one of these two spots were addressed in the draft, and I understand I'm asking without knowing exactly where, who, but just in general, if one of these two spots were addressed in the draft, which one do you think is more urgent to address, inside linebacker or safety?
I'll probably say inside linebacker. I think that's a little more urgent because the role that inside linebacker will eventually grow into is a bigger one, whereas you're talking about the green dot. So I would say there, Jordan McGee out of Temple is a guy that I really like. They were at his pro day. I think he's, you know, fifth, sixth round pick. He could come in and help out.
TD, on the wide receiver front, we spent so much time talking about, you know, Neighbors and Adunze. Who are some guys that if the Titans chose to go that way at 38 that you think could be available and would be intriguing to you?
Yeah, you look at 38. I mean, Troy Franklin. He's real thin, but he has jets. Like, he got the speed. So you got him. I think you're looking at, you know, Roman Wilson, who is a guy that is very solid route wise. He has speed too. He's a vertical threat. He can play in the slot. He's a big play. I mean, when he got opportunities, he made the big plays there with Michigan. So you got him. There's a few. I mean, Jalen Polk. I saw Steve Smith actually compare Jalen Polk to TJ Husmanzadeh.
you know.
Yep.
So you got that, you know, that possession type of guy. There's a few options there, and I think even if you look in the third round, if you're able to manufacture that, you got your Javon Bakers. Malachi Corley, you know, the Western Kentucky yak specialist, is someone that I think in the second and third, in that range also.
Another answer, TD, that Brian Callahan had the other day that some people ran with, like he asked about tight ends, and he basically said the obvious, which is they need tight ends. So I guess some people were like, oh, Brock Bowers to the Titans at 7. I mean, I guess we can run with just about anything. But what about at a realistic place where they could get a tight end? Is there anybody in that range that you really like?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. I still like Jaheim Bell. I think, you know, you look at the explosive plays and the production that he had at Florida State and that offense, you know, when Jordan Travis was rolling, you got him. I like Tip Ryman. You're talking about, a guy who's an all-around tight end. That's an option. Sanders out of Texas is another one where you look at, the route running and just the matchup ability that he brings. Those are Theo Johnson out of Penn State as well. So there's options there. None of those guys are Brock Bowers, but, there's options that you could get later.
Well, TD, great stuff as always, man. We're less than 2 weeks away from the first round of the draft, so we're getting close. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us. Hope you have a great weekend, and tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Oh, yeah, you already know it, man. ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. It's the exclusive sportsbook of ESPN, and it has it all. It starts with offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith, and from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark where the Mets beat the Braves 16-4 last night. There's no better time to be a sports fan than right now. And as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. So download ESPN Bet today. What a play. You got to be 21 or older and in Tennessee. Any gambling problems or support, call or text the TN Red Line at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
Teron Davenport joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what TD had to say there coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Appreciate Teron Davenport for being with us in the last segment. We'll have weekend winners coming up at 8:30. I got some tickets to give away, a 4-pack of tickets to the Monster Energy Supercross Championship at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April 20th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the Monster Energy Supercross Championship at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April the 20th. Joe, are you ready for another Masters update?
Yeah.
All right, so the Masters underway. First round finishing up this morning after the rain delay yesterday. Second round getting underway here shortly. The leaderboard at the moment in the Masters, Bryson DeChambeau leading the way at 7-under. Max Homa has tied Scottie Scheffler for second at 6-under. So Homa having a good tournament, a good first round to this point. Tiger Woods at even par. He was 1-under entering the day today. He had played 13 yesterday. He's through 17 now. So Tiger at even par. I have his second round coming up shortly after the first round concludes today. So your 2024 Masters leaderboard update brought to you by Burger Republic. Go try their limited time Green Jacket Burger for a true Masters experience.
I got to know what's on that.
I know. Me too.
Is it on the internet?
I'm sure it is. Let's go find it.
The Green Jacket. I mean, I like pretty much all their burgers. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you.
Pretty darn good. No question about that. So the draft part of this in terms of receivers in the second round, it was interesting to get TD's perspective there because we've talked so much about receiver and what you could find, obviously, in the first round, either sticking at 7 and picking, or if you traded back, what could be available there. You know, there are guys, you know, that are going to go – first off, I'm interested to see, like, receiver-wise, how many are off the board in the first round. I mean, there are some people that think 5, 6, 7 wide receivers could go in the first round. It's a pretty high number, but we'll see what happens on that point. There are some people that also think, like, 5, 6 tackles could go in the first round. Could be a lot of receivers and a lot of tackles going in the first round. So what does that leave available at pick number 38 for the Titans? And how do you balance that between the need for defensive edge rushers slash interior defensive linemen that we've talked about?
Yeah, I mean, it's I could totally see it happening. There's a lot of guys with those kind of grades, and then you see sometimes a run on a position, which I feel like whenever you're like a team at the end of one of those runs, it's like, gosh, you're just reaching for like someone at that position, aren't you? Like, you know, the Titans reach for Corey Davis. I know that was at pick five, but obviously the evaluations of those two positions are just really strong.
Yep.
And I mean, for the most part, I mean, everybody's wrong on a ton of guys every year. That's why it's hard to do this job. The people that have way more information than we do screw it up. So that tells you how hard it is. But I do feel like the in recent years, it's a strong or it's a weak this or that position. It kind of has played out that way. It seems like those are pretty good overall evaluations of it. So it's
no more shining example than the quarterback class from a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah. Like they were dead on. Yeah. Jared's MVP candidate, Kenny Pickett. Baby hands. Sorry, Kenny. I don't know why we had to get after Kenny Pickett there. Yeah. But, look, it's just interesting that those are the two positions of strength in this draft, and those are – well, especially one of them. But, really, both are pretty significant needs for the Titans. And – that's the thing you mentioned, you know, edge rusher. I mean, I do feel like if one of their two picks, if nothing changes and they have 7 and 30 or whatever, you know, maybe they'd add a third, but if they have those two picks, a first and then a second, one of them being someone who helps them up front on defense makes sense to me. It's got to be the right guy. It's got to make sense where you pick that guy, but they really, really need to add someone young and inexpensive. I mean, I know everybody wants – I get a lot of questions about Caleb Murphy. You know,
yeah.
Hey, maybe. I mean, I think we know what Rashad Weaver is. He's a backup. Arden Key, maybe he has a little bit of a renaissance here, you know, with Denard Wilson. But he's
– I guarantee you Arden Key is going to look worse in training camp this year than he did last year.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
That's one of the locks I feel good about heading into camp.
I think you're probably right about that, yeah. Although, hey, we'll see. Maybe they don't draft a tackle. He's going against
he's
no tackles.
Against no one.
Yeah. Wow, he's even got more sacks than he did against Andre Dillard. That's probably that's the only way to make that happen is to not line up a tackle
probably
on that side
similar.
Of the line. But they need to.
I should have done that.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said it'd probably be pretty similar result.
Lots of people taking shots in this segment here, but no, I mean that's where I really feel like they could help themselves and may help themselves and may need to help themselves. You know, Andrew's talking about the, you know, Sweat from Texas. I'm just he's like, I'll pay for the first month of Ubers. I mean, to me that's just obviously it's a red flag anyway, but like for this time of your life to make a mistake like that, I don't know, man. That scares me away from someone. If I'm making choices.
What do you think of Darius Robinson out of Missouri? TD's connected him to the Titans a lot. Obviously, you know the size you really like, and he can kind of move around a bit well. What do you think of Darius Robinson as an option if he drops to 38 and he's there for the Titans to go get in the second round?
Yeah. I think he's a really intriguing player, and it's just so hard to not think of Denico Autry with him, because that's kind of the same idea, is that he's stout enough to be able to move him along different spots up front, but he, you know, he's still technically an edge rusher. So no, I'm definitely not opposed to that idea. I mean, it's wild if you actually look at like just Missouri in general, the defensive talent that they're putting into this draft, pretty impressive. But, yeah, I like him for sure.
I want to ask you about two Vols as we get close to the draft here. Where do you think, kind of in the general neighborhood, Jalen Wright is going to go, and then Joe Milton at quarterback? With the combine now behind him, he did what we knew he would do at the quarterback and that at the combine, and that is throw the ball ridiculously far. He followed it up at his pro day, and they had to leave the indoor facility and go outside because he's, you know, to unleash that arm a little bit. So we know the arm is what it is, but what do you think of those two guys, their draft prospects, Jalen Wright, Joe Milton?
Jalen Wright, I know, I think Dane Brugger had him, I think, is his fourth back, like third round, great, you know? And I think he had Milton in the fifth, sixth maybe, okay. Fifth, sixth grade. And that, what's our bet?
He's got, if he goes after the fifth round, then yeah. You owe me lunch.
Yeah, that's a stupid bet by my part. Because I just.
But if he goes into the fifth round, I owe you.
Yep. I think it's going to be lower than that. That's just my guess. I understand all the, you know, I understand. Who did we have on talking about? Anthony Richardson?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
Was that us?
No, that was not us. That was
I listening to Hasselbeck with Caroline Willie Deemays?
Maybe Hasselbeck, but I know that as people were studying it, I think, who was it? It was either Orlovsky or somebody on ESPN threw out the Anthony Richardson, Joe Milton comparison.
Yeah, it's just it's not a good comparison.
No, it was Brady Quinn. That's exactly who it was. It was Brady Quinn. Quinn. Yeah.
Okay, well, now I feel even better about dunking on that. Yeah, it's – I think he's gonna be a fringe. I have a feeling he's gonna be close to probably seventh round, but Wright is gonna be really good in the NFL.
I do too.
Wright's gonna be really good. I mean, the power he runs with, and I understand how much that scheme helps running backs. And even when he can't pass, like last year, it still spreads a defense thin. And he had some gaping seams, but look at that first play against Georgia. I mean, taking it to the house. One good play of the game for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, speed and power. And I think he's going to be really dynamic for somebody.
Coming up next, it's time for Weekend Winners. Preds in action with two games coming up this weekend. Also a game that heavily influences the Preds as well. We'll pick that, get you some individual picks as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. A couple of big games for the Preds this weekend. First tonight against the Blackhawks, tomorrow against the Blue Jackets, and a huge game over the weekend that will affect who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs, potentially, the Canucks and the Oilers. We'll get to that and more coming up here in Weekend Winners. A standings update in the competition. Very good week for all of us last week. Nick Kieser leading the way, 5-1 with his lock. Rex Road and I both 4-2 with our locks last week, which brings the overall standings. Robbie Stanley, 24-18, 5-2 in my locks, 29 points. Nick Kieser, 25-17, a better overall record, 3-4 on his locks, 28 points. Joe Rexroad, 22-20, 5-2 on his locks, 27 points. So 29, 28, 27, all right there with the point total. So a tight competition as we head into yet another edition of Weekend Winners. We begin with the Preds and the Blackhawks coming up tonight on the money line. I will start in this one. I'm interested to see who plays and who's in goal and all that tonight for the Preds. But I still think the Preds will win. I think, first off, I think Chicago's terrible. Other than Connor Bedard, and I think the Preds want to keep some of that mojo going, so I think they will tonight. So give me the Preds to take down the Blackhawks. Nick Kieser, Preds and Blackhawks tonight at the United Center.
Yeah, you know, Robbie, real quick, I think we could see Jad actually make his Preds debut tonight, if I had to guess. I think yesterday he was filling in for Michael McCarron, actually, on that line, so we'll see who centers it for sure. I don't know if that's going to actually stick around or not, but probably not. In the game, I'm going to go Preds as well, and I would guess Kevin Lankinen has this start as well.
That's my guess as well.
They're going to split it for sure, so we'll see how that shakes out, but either way, the Preds will take down Connor Bedard on the road.
Bedard. A guard.
Well, it's going to be a very homery weekend winners, I think. I'll go with the Preds.
Okay. Sweep for the Preds today against the Chicago Blackhawks. What about tomorrow? Nick Kieser, Blue Jackets, Preds, money line. Who you got?
Yeah, this is a silly pick. The Preds are going to just absolutely trounce the Blue Jackets.
Ooh, trounce.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. Joe Rexroad, who you got?
Remember
Preds,
that?
Blue Jackets.
Save that. Yeah, I'm going to go Preds too. Is it 6-6 on Preds? Look, you're thinking about it. Thinking about not.
Look, it's the Blue Jackets and the Blackhawks, so it should be.
It's like their fourth string goalie too.
Well, The only reservation I have is like, how motivated are the Predators tonight? How motivated are the Predators tomorrow? But I'm going Preds. I'll go Preds. So a clean sweep across the board. Sorry to the fans of Nashville.
I mean,
two impending losses.
That's the thing. Should they, even though they would never say it to each other, never say it out loud? I mean, don't they want to be wild card one?
I don't know.
I think so, Joe.
I mean, I'm sure there are a couple of them that say, you know what I don't want to do? Hop on a plane for 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
5 hours.
Is it that long?
Yeah, it is that long to Vancouver. It's a long time. Long flight. Speaking of Vancouver, the Canucks and the Oilers coming up Saturday night in Edmonton, which is a gigantic game that could affect who the Predators play in the first round. If Edmonton wins and they keep winning here, by the way, Edmonton plays tonight too, they could make things really interesting, win that division, and if the Predators finish in wild card one, they could play either the Canucks or the Oilers. So we'll go with that matchup Saturday night. Joe Rexroad, who you got? Vancouver, Edmonton, Saturday night.
Yeah, and it's in Edmonton.
It is.
I'm going to go with the Oilers. I think the Oilers are making a push here. Might end up being a little McDavid Draisaitl right away for the Preds.
Could be. I'm going to go with the Vancouver Canucks on the road against the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton plays tonight, so they'll be on the second half of a back-to-back. Now, they also play tonight at home, so it's not like they're traveling anywhere. But I'm going to go Vancouver to step up, rise to the occasion, and win a big game. So I'll go the Canucks. Nick Kieser, Edmonton, Vancouver, Saturday night.
I just think the Oilers' offense is they're just firing on all cylinders right now. The power play looks really good. I mean, they won without McDavid the other night. The power play looked almost better at times, I thought. Some certain
There's
scenarios.
A take. There's a Connor McDavid catching some strays from Kieser.
That doesn't
Improve
mean the whole
that power
season.
Play.
That doesn't mean the whole season.
He sucks. Got that McDavid puck hog out of the lineup.
What I mean is they actually held it together with him out of the lineup. So there you go. But I'm
you said it
go,
looked better. That's not what better. You said. What are you talking about?
It was my approach. I meant just how they played with him out. Right. But regardless, and I'm going with the Oilers, and it's actually going to be my lock of the weekend because I think we could see this being a pivotal matchup where the Preds could play the Oilers, but we'll see.
All righty. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
So Lakers at Grizzlies tonight. Lakers playing for stuff. Grizzlies not playing for stuff. But Lakers minus 15.5. You know what? I think the Grizzlies get a little – it's still the Lakers, and you want to like try to – you know, give them a little bit of a challenge. I'll take the Grizzlies in the 15.5.
Grizzlies plus 15.5 against the L.A. Lakers. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
I'm going to head over to the Diamond. I'm going to pick up the Baltimore Orioles plus 1.5 over what they're playing, the Milwaukee Brewers this weekend. Peralta's on the mound for the Brewers. Seeing him play with the Nashville Sounds, just remembering him playing here. But yeah, give me Jackson Holliday and the Baltimore Orioles over the Brewers.
The number one prospect in baseball.
Yeah, Jackson and he Holliday. Went up against Paul Skenes the other day too.
He did. A lot of young talent going on right there. All right, I will take the Vegas Golden Knights minus 1.5 against the Minnesota Wild. And make it my lock. I'm locking down on Vegas tonight. Minus 1.5 against the Wild. The Wild are done. They're eliminated. The motivation gone. Vegas got punked the other night by Edmonton, so I like them to respond in a big way tonight. Vegas, minus 1.5 against Minnesota. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Big game also in that Western Conference play-in scenario. Warriors chasing the Pelicans. Warriors are home. Minus 4.5. Yeah, they're also on a back-to-back. Got guys banged up. Steph Curry didn't look great last night. I'm going to take the Pelicans and the 4.5 points.
Pelicans plus 4.5 against the Warriors. Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
Yeah, back over to the NHL. I'm going to take the Calgary Flames minus 1.5 over the Anaheim Ducks.
Flames minus 1.5 against the Ducks. I will go to the Diamond. Give me the Atlanta Braves minus 1.5. Against the Miami Marlins on the road. Braves, minus 1.5. Nick Kieser, your final individual selection.
College hockey. It's the national championship. Boston College 1.5 over the Denver Pioneers. That was a fun game the other night when Boston College clinched. And look, I love watching this time of the year. The Frozen Four is one of my favorite tournaments in hockey. But this national championship, I've got Boston College written all over it.
And again, Boston College is -1.5
against correct.
Denver. Yeah. They crushed Michigan, I saw.
They did. Will Smith, not the actor. A hockey player that I think Barry Trotz tried to get up and trade for.
Just saying.
Joe Rex showed your final individual selection.
All right, one more NBA. My beloved Detroit Pistons and Dallas. Dallas -12.5.
Yes.
Yeah, Mavs lock. Pistons are the worst Pistons team ever. Dick Vitale coached a Pistons team in like 1979 that went like 16-66. This is going to be worse.
What's their record?
They're like 13 and
let's see here.
60.
They got beat again last night by the Bulls.
13-67?
Something
like that?
13-67.
Yeah. They're going to be 13-69, the worst Pistons team ever, and the Mavs are going to beat them by about 30. That's an easy lock for me.
Pretty bad. Yeah. Okay, I will go the Carolina Hurricanes -1.5 against the St. Louis Blues. Carolina, very good. I think St. Louis knows that they're done, but they're not officially done yet. But they will officially be done after tonight. So give me Carolina -1.5 against the St. Louis Blues. Carolina, right now, if you go by the odds, Joe, which I don't know, I'd be interested to see your take on this. If you go by the odds, Carolina is currently the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup. What do you think of that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little, I don't know, I'm a little surprised by that. What? Give me the top three or four.
Carolina. Okay, so this has changed. So Florida has actually moved into a tie with Carolina. So okay. Carolina and Florida are tied on the FanDuel Sportsbook at +700 to win. Dallas right after that at +800. Colorado, and then Edmonton and the Rangers. Those are your top six.
So that's before you even read that to me, I'm like, why does no one think Boston can make a run? Because they blew it last year when they were the best team ever in the regular season?
That, and they've lost a ton of games in overtime this year, and they've picked up points that way. So I think they're viewed as not as strong. I mean, they're not as strong as they were last year.
Right.
That doesn't mean you can't. I mean, they're good enough to win. They're good enough to win the cup. I mean, they've got.
And they're not even on the radar there with those odds.
They're actually eighth on this list. Behind Vegas.
Yeah, there are some years where, you know, like there's an obvious favorite, and whenever it's someone like Boston last year, I mean, I swear I said it on the show, like they are, like, didn't I pick them to lose like right away in the playoffs?
I think you did.
You know, so the obvious favorite years, those are, you better be very aware of that. But there's some years where it's like it was like Colorado 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
It was like, yeah, especially after the misery the year before, like get out of the way. This year is very, and you know, this kind of applies to the Preds. I mean, it is very wide. There are a lot of teams you could make a case for.
Here's one thing that I will say. The Preds are +4,000 to win the cup. Right before them is the LA Kings at +2,400. That's a big gap between +2,400 and +4,000. Here's a hot take for you. The Predators are a better hockey team than the LA Kings. I've watched LA a good bit. I don't think they're very good. I mean, they play away. They run a 1-3-1 trap, so they frustrate the heck out of you, and it's hard to break through them. But I think the Preds are better than the Kings are. That's just me.
Well, that I think that gap is exaggerated.
Yes,
they should be in the same neighborhood.
I agree, but they're not, according to the money.
And the Kings, by the way, you know, the Kings. I mean, the Knights are chasing both the Kings and the Preds. Kings and Preds both at 95 points right now, with three games to play. But Vegas does have that game in hand.
They do. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll look ahead to the Preds weekend coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on MTSU, pregame at 345, first pitch at 4 o'clock. Vandy baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Also, make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Sunday for coverage of the Autotrader Echo Park Automotive 400. Say that five times fast. Coverage will begin at 1:30 with the race starting at 2:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rexroad, you have a litany of objects you'd like to discuss here.
Oh, real fast, thanks to Lance, our guy Lance, who's the Green Jacket Burger, the key ingredient on that, well, it has pimento cheese, which of course makes sense, but also the fried green tomato. Ooh. So there you go. Along with your Benton's Bacon Jam. So, brioche bun. Highly recommend any burger from there. I've had most of them. I got to try that one. Also, just to clarify, some people came at me on the text line. Also, Jared came at me on the personal text line about the book, If I Did It. So OJ did get paid for that. He got paid $600,000. Yes, it was ended up there was like a big legal thing with it, and the Goldman family published it. And then, if you've seen the cover, it's like it says I did it, and like the if is tiny. It's like if, But anyway, Jared was trying to say he didn't get paid, and he did actually get paid for it. And then, of course, there's a ghostwriter, so he quote unquote wrote it, but he talked to the ghostwriter.
Yeah,
all that stuff. Just wanted to clarify. Thanks for weighing in, everybody. Especially you, Jared.
Yes, thank you, Stilly. Appreciate that. By the way, Tiger's dropped another shot, so he finishes at plus one for his first round.
What's the cut going to be?
Right now, I think he's still fine cut wise, but it would behoove him to probably, if he could get to two or three under by the end of the second round, I think he'll be in good shape.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens there. The Preds in action tonight. Taking on the Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow for the home finale of the regular season against Columbus. I'm interested to see a couple things tonight, Joe. Number one, what does the lineup look like? Who is going to be out? Who's going to be in? I would assume they've typically handled back-to-backs where Lankinen gets the first one, Saros will get the second one. I think that's the way they're going to go. I mean, Lankinen on the road against his former team, there's also that part of it too. So my guess is you'll see Lankinen tonight. What else does the lineup look like? And then tomorrow against Columbus, like how does Brunette manage the back-to-back? I do think now that you've clinched the spot, you've got the luxury of either number one, being really selective with how many minutes you play some of your top guys tonight, if they're going to play again tomorrow, or number two, like could you see a Yossi sit tonight and then play tomorrow? I don't think you're going to sit him like the next three games, but when you can manage the back-to-back, like to me, there's no sense in, unless you just really want them to keep going. Like Forsberg's chasing a goal record, so I think you factor that into it too. But like Yossi has been so valuable for you, and he's played a ton of minutes. Like could you sit him tonight and then play him tomorrow in the home finale? I'm interested to see what they do lineup-wise.
You could. And that's the thing. I mean, this is one of those things you learn, I guess, about Andrew Brunette that we don't know.
I have no clue.
First time we've.
And he may play 25 minutes tonight. I have no idea.
I mean, my guess is that he plays everybody.
He might.
The rest of the way. Other than there may be, as you said, an injury or two we don't know about, and that it really helps them to sit that player. But I think if it's not something like that, I think they're going to try to keep winning and keep their game as intact as they can until it's over. That's just my guess.
Well, and I think the goalie part of it's important too. Like I would go Lankinen tonight and I would play Saros the next two. And the reason for that is like you don't want Saros off for a week and a half heading into the playoffs, right? Like you want him, I mean he's not gonna be in a groove necessarily because he's going to have some days off here. But I think that could be a perfect balance for him of getting some work in and then you're also knowing that there's rest banked into the back part of it here that you can kind of refocus and get going. So that's the way I would go goalie. I'd go Lankinen tonight and then Saros for the next two.
You know why else you want Saros to start the finale? Because you want the Pittsburgh Penguins to be in a win and end situation, yeah. And you want to destroy their night.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a long time ago, but that should be, it should be part of the discussion.
Here's what I'd love to
know. Go ruin their season.
What if they
got all excited now that they're going to get in.
What if that last game between Pittsburgh and the bad part is we probably won't know because I think the Predators are done before most teams in terms of like, I mean, they play Monday and then their teams play after that.
Yeah.
But what if that result comes down to whether or not the Pittsburgh Penguins get in the playoffs or the Red Wings get in. How are you feeling about that if you're a Preds fan?
That is interesting.
Yeah.
It depends on how what age of Preds fan you are, right?
Yes.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody.
Sidney Crosby and Patrick Kane.
That's the thing.
Two beloved members for this family.
That's right. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, the Penguins still, like, their main guys are still there from the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah. So you really would rather ruin their. Well, I mean, the Red Wings have been trashed.
They have
for
no
so
one
long.
There
Who
from
cares?
When your arrival with them. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's probably my answer, too. But I'd be interested to know if you're a Predators fan. If you could hold one of those two teams out of the playoffs, Pittsburgh or Detroit, who would you choose?
That'd be a good question. Chase and Big Joe, make that your question. Hey, speaking of Chase and Big Joe and questions, great job with Ice Cube yesterday. Really enjoyed that interview. And they asked my question about diss tracks because No Vaseline is Ice Cube's diss track, the greatest of ever. But he's right. Hit Him Up by Tupac is close. But I agree that No Vaseline's number one. Good job asking that question, Chaser.
Way to go.
But that now we've given this can be their question. I think that's a good question for them.
It's probably
for the listeners.
I think it is too. It's probably a good thing that I wasn't in charge of the Ice Cube interview because I would have had. I mean, I would have asked 15 questions about Friday. So
I thought you were going to say about like what's the one on like driving the RV or whatever. Are we there yet or whatever? Yeah. Yeah, no.
Great film.
They did get into Friday a little bit, but yeah.
That's the only thing I would have talked about is Friday.
Yeah. They hit a lot of stuff. They hit a lot of stuff. He's still trying to get Caitlin Clark, by the way.
Yeah. Hey. It's worth the pursuit.
It
I don't
is.
Think it's going to happen.
I don't think
but
so
it's
either,
worth the pursuit.
It is.
There's
it
nothing
is.
Wrong with that. Joe, have yourself a wonderful weekend. This is going to be a great weekend. A couple of hockey games. The Masters on, which is my kind of weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. See you tomorrow. And don't forget, everybody, spring football.
Yeah, buddy. And the dunk tank for Stillman.
Oh, my gosh. Stillman dunk tank, 5 o'clock at the Plaza. Get there.
Make sure you're there for that. That does it for us. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.